discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, hey, hey. It's Fat Loveline.
Fat Loveline?
Oh,
little fat Albert.
Hey, hey, hey. He's Fat Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and still asleep.
Yeah.
I took a big nap today, too. Well, I took about a 45-minute nap, but I'm out of it, too. Sometimes, you know, you fall asleep and you wake up and you ain't right.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
You know what it's like for me? And I nap every day. I mean, I was thinking about writing a book on napping, but I got too tired.
Yeah,
and I just went to
put
bed.
Put teeth into that statement. Oh, man, he wrote the book on it.
I wrote
napping,
the book.
You wrote the book on
napping. And let me tell you what napping is to me. It is a roll of the dice. It is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It is a chance I'm willing to take each and every day of my life, sometimes twice a day.
Living dangerously.
But it is like, it's like a metronome. Tick, 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 and sometimes it lands to the right, and that's a real, I spring up and I never felt better, and then sometimes it lands to the left and I am no good.
I'm no good. I about 10 minutes tonight, I thought to myself, oh my God, I've never been tired this tired in my entire life.
Yeah.
I'm asleep until 10 o'clock.
You're blurry.
And 15 minutes ago, I walked and go, what are you doing here?
Well, it was great. Yeah, nobody was, I got here, I was running late tonight, Drew was running late, and as of 2.5 minutes before the show, there wasn't anyone in the building. Just a mic sitting there.
Oh, man.
And let me deliver a mixed message to the kids. Oftentimes, people tell you to drive slowly, that it's not going to get you there any faster.
Oh, no.
You want to get there in one piece.
I made it in 12 minutes.
Yeah, let me tell you, you haul ass. You get places in half the time. First off, I ignored two of those goddamn arrows.
Oh, yeah.
And went blasted through two arrows and drove about 85 all the way over here.
I found
and,
a way through
no
an alley.
Problem.
You can forget around these arrows. I found a way tonight through an alley.
Well, listen.
The alley was, I mean, it's small.
Yeah.
I knocked the corners off some buildings. But
good times. Yeah, they got a lot of left-turn arrows here in Culver City, I imagine, to generate income, but they can kiss my ass. They don't mean ass to me.
I'm tired.
Right
of, let me tell you ask about something. I'm tired of trying to convince people. It's like I'm tired of trying to help people.
Mm-hmm.
People have finally burned me out.
Yeah.
We have on Sunday a show on ecstasy coming up, and a week from Sunday, I think about the morning after pill. And
yeah, you just sit there and argue with people not to kill themselves.
Yeah, and I've been collecting data, and I thought to myself, screw it. People don't want to hear about this. I don't care anymore.
Dude, you realize your life is just begging teenagers not to F themselves up.
Yeah, don't harm yourself.
Don't
please don't
do
harm
it.
Yourself.
Come
please
on,
don't
no.
harm yourself. Then I'm thinking,
no, you're going to get
pregnant.
Come on. You're going to get AIDS. You're going to get AIDS. No. Put the gun down. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to hurt yourself.
The insulting.
You're
going to
get pregnant. Yeah, you know what it is now? Screw you.
Well, the insulting thing is, what do you think I'm doing here? And why am I here trying to help you if you don't really want to hear it?
Well, I mean, Drew, you're here for a paycheck. Let's be honest.
No, you know what?
Yeah.
Well, there's that. But but really, when the end of the day comes, I'm trying to stay focused on helping people. And
sure.
Why?
But this is
they don't
the
want
end
to hear
of the
it.
Day. Screw
they don't want to hear it.
Okay. Good. You do it.
That's so painful to me to accept that.
It's do what you want night on Loveline.
Wait, why can't we... why would I come out against threesomes? I mean,
jealous.
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Why would I want people not to smoke pot if it were good for them?
Well,
why would I want them not to do ecstasy?
Because you're not cool. That's why. You're not hip.
And then what would my motivation be? What's my through line?
More drugs for you.
Oh, I see. So later even that doesn't work.
We're using the world's reserves of drugs, and you won't have any. That's my angle. That's why you want people to stop.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, just quiet down over there, please. You're getting on my nerves. Mighty, mighty Boston's are going to be here. Dickie and Joe Gittleman are going to be in here.
Wah!
That's right. They're just finishing a concert in Anaheim, and they're flying over here. And if they do 55 or 60, it's going to take them 55, 60 minutes to get here. And if they do 85, they'll get here in 30 minutes. That's the message I'd like to drive home to my kids. I really would. I swear to Christ, I can get here in half the time. The more laws I break, the faster I get here. That's really the message. Sean?
Yeah, how
thank
are you?
You. You're 23.
Yeah, I'm just asking about the penis pumps I see in the porn stores.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with them? What do they do, and how safe are they?
Well, you put them around your penis, and then you pump them, hence the name penis pump.
Right. Well, what do you do?
Well, they draw blood into your penis, and it's working under the theory that your penis is a muscle.
A muscle?
Well, what I mean is it's like when you do curls, you draw blood to your bicep.
You're working resistance. I mean, it's...
All right, but the notion is that you're drawing blood to this area and that's creating growth.
Is that what they put on those things? If there was like a package insert, that's what they would claim?
Well, they can't explain it because it doesn't work.
How about just, hey, it stretches it out?
Well, that's basically what it is, but the way it stretches it out is I think, engorging it with blood, not vacuum power.
Or both.
I mean, where's the blood coming from?
Well, it's coming from your ass, you idiot. What do you think? What do you mean, where it's coming from?
How does that happen? I mean, what they do by stretching it out, it just brings blood up or something like that?
It doesn't do anything.
Where's the blood coming from when you get a boner?
Okay, I hear this.
Yeah, you with me now?
Yeah, I got you.
And here's the deal, is that the cavernous bodies inside the penis, there's two tubes that fill up with blood, and I don't understand... Those don't enlarge. I mean, they don't change. They're these sheaths that fill up.
Yeah.
They're like balloons. And you don't stretch them. You can't build them. And you can stretch the soft tissue around them, in which you'd sort of have something hanging off the tip of these tubes, like an elephant trunk, you know, if you really stretch things.
Right. Well, look, here's the deal, everybody. If you could really add significant size to your penis for a $39 item you can find on any corner, don't you think most men would have one of these?
Yeah.
What do you think they'd be in use?
Or they'd no longer go for $39.
That's right. $3,900.
Yeah.
And that'd be for the cheap knockoffs. Lou?
Yes, sir.
You're 18. What's up, Private?
My uncle's wife, we were going to, she wanted me to go to the mall with her. I said, yes, sir. I said, yeah, sure.
Hold on. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Your uncle's wife?
My uncle's wife.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, no.
You know?
Hold on. Oh, holy Christ. What is he, is he calling on a citizens band, or what is that? Do you want to talk to him?
No.
And by the way, is there anything more confusing than my uncle's wife?
Yeah, I was just going to say, why did he call? He started out with the aunt, and then now it's my uncle's wife.
I'm guessing it's his uncle's second wife.
Either that or just the fact that she was not related by blood. He wanted to clarify that.
Lou?
Gone.
Right. He hung up. Kathy?
Hello?
You're 36?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I have a 16-year-old daughter who's tried suicide 3 times, and they want to put her on Prozac, and I just want to know what's the pros and cons of Prozac.
Three times?
Well, the cons would be if you don't have her depression treated, she'll kill herself.
Well, I know. She's in therapy now. She's been in therapy for about 4 months now.
Yeah, but in terms of really the cornerstone of altering the course of depression, the thing that has saved lives in the last decade has been medication.
Uh-huh.
The therapy is useful in helping an ultimate resolution of depression, but in terms of eliminating or at least substantially reducing the life-threatening nature of depression, that's medication.
Hey, Mama?
Yeah?
3 times. Was she serious about it?
Well, I guess three times she's been in the hospital for it. I mean, I've never had her really committed, but,
Wait a minute. Now, what do you mean you've never had her committed? Wasn't she held for 3 days?
No. She's come home every single time. The first time was like with 84 aspirin. It's always been with aspirin, though.
And so she's not admitted to the psychiatric hospitals?
No, they ask her if she wants to be released, and she says yes, and they let her come home.
Wow.
And she's a minor?
Well,
now she's in, right? Or she was recently in?
What was that?
She was recently hospitalized, though, yes?
No, she's never been hospitalized. This is all, like, within the last 2 or 3 years.
She took aspirin every time?
Yeah.
And how did you prevent her from killing herself each time?
I just took her to the hospital. They give her the charcoal. She pukes it up.
It's all become very mundane at this point, right? You know the routine, right?
Yeah, but I'm afraid she's going to one day maybe succeed because she's like really severely depressed.
Yes, she will. She will.
Does she do it in such a way though where she knows you're going to come home and find her?
Sometimes she calls me at work.
But be that as it may, people that do that still sometimes kill themselves.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
And I'm totally baffled as to why she's not been psychiatrically hospitalized.
I have no idea.
And or why she hasn't even seen a psychiatrist. Is that right?
She's seeing a therapist right now, not a psychiatrist. She has an appointment with the psychiatrist on the 16th of April.
Okay, all right.
And he's the one that's going to recommend the Prozac.
You know that's the medication he's going to recommend?
Well, that's what they always give her. I mean, she was on it once before, but she didn't take it long enough for it to
Well, now, wait a minute. I thought you said she hadn't seen a psychiatrist before.
No, I mean, that was the one that was in the hospital that said, here, take the Prozac, you know. But it wasn't anything like...
Hold on. She was in a psychiatric hospital.
No, he was in the emergency room. He came in.
I see.
He said, this is what you need to take for your depression. And
I see.
End of story.
Okay, well, it may or may not be...
Drew, who's paging you?
Emergency room.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Drew's got to give out some Prozac.
Oh, okay.
Don't call him back, Drew. Stop that. Just stop calling back and people stop calling you. Hey, Kathy?
Uh-huh.
Why is your child doing this? Is there any abuse or molestation or any of that good stuff?
Yeah.
What happened?
When she was 5, she was molested by a family friend.
Hmm. Oh, good times. Where's that family friend now?
Oh, he got shipped back to Mexico.
Oh, that's nice. Was he even from Mexico, or are we just punishing him by sending him to Mexico?
No, he was.
I see. Okay. Not a bad idea, though. Just ship people to Mexico, Mexican or not. That's my plan.
Yeah.
All right, Kathy. Listen, you get her on these, get her on everything you can get her on, and get her into therapy and stay with her. And listen, you vermin out there that ruin people's lives so you can get your thumb up their ass when they're 5. Jesus Christ, they try to kill themselves at 16, they're never right, then they give birth to a couple of kids and ruin those lives. I'd really like a nice rusty bullet put in the head, not even a clean sterile bullet, a nice rusty bullet put in the head of these guys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Are you with me, Drew?
Yeah, and you're hitting me on a night when I'm already overwhelmed by trying to help people. This is part of what overwhelms me.
Why does it make me a bad person when I want bad things to happen to people that do bad things to other people? You know, why? How did society evolve into the kind of society where that makes you a bad person?
Hmm.
For wanting to punish those who destroy other people's lives severely.
Or you're supposed to be forgiving.
Yeah, kiss my ass. That's a death sentence. Weirdo uncle does something weird to their niece or nephew for a few years. That's it. I've done this show long enough. You ain't never right. It's like taking a unibody car and wrapping it around a telephone pole. You can straighten it out, get the alignment fixed, but door never shuts right. There goes my high horse. Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 18. What's up?
Okay, I've been going to raves since I was 16, and, like, ever since then I've done ecstasy. And, like, one of the last times I did it was in October. And, like, ever since then, I've been getting, like, sick. Like, 2 days I'll be sick, and then after that, like, I'll be fine for 3 days, and then I'll be sick again. And it's been like that ever since October. And
what do you mean,
like,
sick? What does that mean, sick?
And I was, like... like a cold or something. At first it'll be allergies, like runny eyes, runny nose, like then it'll be like coughing.
Could it just be allergies?
I don't think so, because like I've never been like this before.
Hmm.
And I was just wondering if it's because of the ecstasy and like...
That's not something that typically happens from ecstasy, but allergies sometimes don't occur until they occur. You know what I mean? They don't come on until they come on.
Hold on, let me grab a scratch.
Once they're on, well,
let me grab a scratch.
Hey, listen, this is what I have to deal with all the time, which people saying, but this has never happened before. Yeah, you never had pneumonia until you had pneumonia.
All right, hold on, slow down, pneumonia. Never had pneumonia until you had pneumonia.
One is sometimes allergies when they kick up, stay with you.
Hold on. We don't have it anymore. You might want to try like down the street at another gas station.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm at work right now. I've been like, I work late, and I always try to call you guys, and every time I got off, like, I was never able to get in.
You just did a nice little PSA for ecstasy. Hey, you may want to try another filling station. Yeah, at 2, you got to start talking through the bulletproof glass. We can't hear you. Hey, Melissa?
Yeah.
All right, easy on the drugs, baby.
Okay.
It's going to screw you up.
Okay.
All right, no more ecstasy. You get yourself a nice gig, you get out of that gas station, right? All right?
Okay.
All right.
All right, bye.
All right, good times. You know, I notice that the, you know how I hate everyone who works at gas stations?
Yeah.
All those crazy steel-eyed foreigners.
That's here in Los Angeles, though.
Oh, maybe only in L.A. They just look at you like they want to jump through the glass and slit your throat because you want a pack of cigarettes. Like, you really? Here's the whole thing. Here's what you get out here in L.A. When you go to the window at the gas station, it's as if the guy was in the middle of some kind of international chess tournament and you started banging on the glass. He was, like, right in the middle of a move, and you just came up and tapped him on the shoulder. You've never seen guys more disturbed by customers in your life. It's they look up. They're usually reading something, and they look up, and they go, they're either sleeping, watching TV, or reading, and they always turn around and look at you like, oh, Christ, not you again. Didn't I sell you a gallon of gas and a quart of milk just 2 weeks ago? What the hell are you doing? And I started realizing that a lot of them don't even have that part you talk through anymore.
Yeah, you can't talk to them.
It's just a 4-inch Lexan glass and the sliding drawer.
Yeah.
And I realized, why put the talking thing through there? What do you think you're going to get? Right. Thank you. Come again. Good to see you tonight, Mr. Pinsky. You're looking good.
Oh, yeah.
How's the wife and triplets?
Hey, listen.
No, they don't talk anyway. And the thing that adds insult to injury is you have to now put your head in the drawer. Yeah. You have to, like, lean down and put your head in the drawer.
Well, that's for them to tell you what change, how much you owe them.
Snickers bar, pack of Marlboros, and a Pepsi Light.
Yeah.
Now you're guying the guy. Yeah. And the guy just stuffs it through the drawer and he just looks at you. I like the move, too, when you could be parked in a Rolls Royce out front there. Nothing's getting in that drawer till they see some cash. That's the other move I like. They just sit there. You're reaching for your wallet. They're sitting there looking at you. It's like, there ain't no way I'm dropping these M&Ms into that drawer until I see some green stuff. Because, you know, you could drop those peanut M&Ms in there. You make a break for it. Next thing you know, the place is shut down. I mean, they can't absorb that kind of hit, you know, in inventory. Then they slide the thing through, and then they just slide a change, and they just look at you. Just like a grouper through a fish tank.
Oh, yeah.
No, not a grouper. Grouper's a nice fish. Barracuda. Just stare at you with those evil, steely barracuda eyes. You ready to go here, Drew?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Listen, I know Drew's in a frisky mood tonight, and so am I. But I can tell you, all you L.A. gas station people, just please drop your horrible attitude. Please.
Adam, there are certain cities in this country where all people at service desks have that attitude. I found one last week in Cincinnati.
I was
at an Omni Hotel in Cincinnati.
You're going to attack Cincinnati, the whole city of Cincinnati now?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. You've been there. Make Cleveland look like paradise.
Tom? Tom, you're 20.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up? The Mighty Mighty Bosstones are going to be here in just a matter of moments and really change our mood tonight.
Yeah, I heard you guys, getting mad about the gas station. Yeah.
What's up, Tom?
Yeah, I have a problem. Me and my girlfriend are having sex, a lot of time it goes over, an hour, on and off. And after I'm done, I have to go to the bathroom, and pee. And when I do, it burns like hell. I mean,
how long does that burning, does the burning persist for hours?
Yeah, it burns for, a couple hours afterwards.
And then it stops again.
Yeah.
Do you wear a condom with her?
Yeah.
Well, it may be some sort of reaction to even the latex or the trauma. You know, an hour of activity is a little tough on your pepe.
Yeah.
And it can cause urethral inflammation. It could be infection, but then again, you're wearing a condom, so that makes that very unlikely.
Yeah, and I got checked maybe a year ago.
Yeah,
and I've been with one girl since then.
All right, it's just some sort of irritation or allergy to the latex, and or just the physical trauma to that area can irritate it.
How long is he having sex for?
An hour.
Yeah, it's too long.
And she probably isn't into
it.
Nah. Most women, what would you say the average for women, sort of optimal duration for a woman is, Adam?
In terms of actual intercourse.
Yeah, intercourse.
From the time you get in to the time you're watching television and eating.
Yeah, yeah. Time you roll over and sleeping.
Well, I tell you, sex, it's really like I always say, it's like getting in the ring.
But it's,
I mean,
real variable.
3 minutes can be a while,
yes,
when that, you're with a woman.
I would think.
I mean, the 3 minute round is what I'm talking about. I'd say the average woman would actually like just the pure intercourse, yeah, for somewhere between like 10 and 14 minutes.
That's exactly what I would say. I think if you're getting into 20 minutes, you are in the outer ranges of comfort for someone. Now, some women may be into it, but that's the select few.
Well, Drew, you know as well as I do when you're cornholing, that when something's in you for that kind of time...
Well, now, say that for the PSA. You know as well as I, Mr. Carolla.
Hi, I'm Adam Carolla. You know, I kid a lot on the radio and on television, but cornholing's no laughing matter. Yeah, I mean, it's really having something in you, working you over for that. Especially, too, as a woman, you have the time you're underneath the guy.
Well, and they run out of juice.
Got some
literally.
This big, sweaty, hairy Armenian guy working you,
nice,
10 ways to Sunday.
Mm. Yeah. Very nice.
All right. We'll take a little break. Mighty Mighty Bosstones are going to be here in just 1 second. We'll be back after this.
This is David Alan Greer, and you are listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and the one and only Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is.
I watch it.
Now, that's my only celebrity friend, and here's my...
Not only my mom and wife watch that.
Here's my second celebrity friend.
I feel like...
All right, hold on there, Dickie.
I just got in here.
I know, be quiet. I got to tell everyone you got in here. Well, you guys had a gig tonight. From the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, Dickie Barrett is here,
yes,
everybody.
Closely followed by my partner in crime, Joe Gittleman, who's on his way. He's lost out on
That's right here. It's on the corner.
Yeah, I don't know where he is. He's in a different vehicle.
Oh, it's one big
guy. We each have our own limo, man.
Here. Nice.
Yeah, things are good, buddy.
Where'd you play tonight?
Sold out, man.
Where were you?
He had a nice haircut, too.
All right.
Dickie, I have a love for your hair. Go away, Adam.
Okay.
Well, I haven't seen you guys in a while. It's not. Usually we get to spend like 15 to 20 minutes together before we say hello.
Are you in town for a couple? Oh, yeah.
For four, I think three or four shows. Oh, I wish Joe was here. He's the fact guy.
No, I got the thing here.
All right.
You're going to be at the House of Blues.
No, the whiskey.
Well,
am I wrong?
No, I'm seeing House of Blues right here on my...
Has it been changed?
Well, here's the good news. The whiskey is only a couple blocks from the House of Blues, so if you
I hope Joe's only a couple of blocks from the radio station there, because...
He knows, huh?
Yeah, he will fill us in. It'll be boom, boom,
okay,
boom.
But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Yes.
Those are the 3 dates.
Yes.
And it'll be somewhere on the Sunset Strip here in Los Angeles. And if it's not at the House of Blues, it'll be at the Whiskey.
Yeah.
Do you think it changed?
No, I believe it's at the Whiskey. And if it's at the House of Blues, then it did change.
Okay.
I think your information's wrong.
Okay. San Francisco coming up April 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Right.
Dallas on the 10th. Houston on the 12th through the 14th. And then New York on the 28th.
That's good.
Yeah.
The other stuff seems right to me.
All right, but...
you're good, as long as you don't have venues involved.
Well, when Joe gets here, we'll get to the bottom, because I'd like to go out to one of the shows.
We're not going to take no for an answer this time, Adam.
What do you mean this time?
Because the last time you saw us, we were playing Lollapalooza in 1995 or something.
No, I saw you guys, okay, Lollapalooza.
Yeah, it's been a while, buddy.
No.
Actually, you came to a show where you were in the balcony at the palace or something like
right.
that. Right, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But that was years ago.
That was too long ago.
And you always talk about the show, and we actually, tonight's show in Orange County in Anaheim, we went on earlier so that we could come down and see you guys. So
oh, God
this time
bless.
We're not going to take. Yeah, and bring the family. You come too, Drew.
Right.
Drew won't be there. I'll be there, but Drew won't be there.
I bet he will.
When? Where?
I want to go Saturday
at the Whiskey,
night.
We believe.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
Come on, baby, please.
What's
on the spot?
No.
The
earlier show.
Call my wife.
Drew, just say you'll be there.
I'd like to be there. I'll be there.
Joe, thank God you're here. Good
Joe
Lord.
Joe Gittleman. Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Serious. How are you, Joe?
Joe, we're at the Whiskey, right?
Yeah, we're Whiskey.
Listen, these guys have both been sort of descended into connubial bliss since we last saw him.
Whiskey.
What is that?
I don't know.
They're married.
You fell in a canoe?
They're both married.
Happily married.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're on the road. That's why they're happy.
One guy left out.
Adam's going to work on me for the next 5 days.
No, but we're
going. Why did you do it, buddy?
No. We're going out.
You've ruined
night.
It. Really?
Oh,
am I going to get a lecture?
I'm so going to the
be
show.
There? You
yeah.
are? You
Hell
are?
Yes, absolutely.
Usually you're busy. That I'm married, Adam.
No, hold on. One question at a time.
All right.
No, I'm not, because the only time I see you is when you're in L.A., and that's without your wife. So to me, you're not married. I'm doing the math.
What, are you insinuating that I behave like a single man?
The idea is you're going to strip club.
I'm not saying you're going to.
No,
I'm not saying you're cheating.
We
I'm
know,
just
we
saying.
We have lunch. Last time I was in L.A., we had lunch, and it was a really nice time, and Adam said the nicest thing I could say. I picked up the check.
Yeah.
Just because we're kind of, you know, we're buddies, and he picked up the check last time. And he goes, oh, my God, you don't know what that means to me. He goes, every time I go with my buddies,
they
just assume. They're
sponge, yeah.
He goes, my buddies, the guys I grew up with think that it could have been any of us. And it just happened to you. And you're
right. Now it's payback time. No, they finish eating, and they're like, we're going to go out to the car. I mean, they don't pay for anything.
You had a look of shock on your face. You just couldn't believe it.
It felt good. I was really glad. And I'm going to pick up the tab for whatever tab needs to be picked up Saturday night.
We're going to see you Saturday, huh?
Yes. And
I'll believe it when I see it.
No. I guarantee
you
I'll be there. Absolutely.
You're a busy guy now.
What do we do?
I will be there. It's
You'll
at the Whiskey.
The guest list.
At the Whiskey, right?
Yeah, the Whiskey. Yeah. Saturday night.
All right.
Yeah. Voodoo Glow Skulls. Voodoo Voodoo.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We like those guys.
Yeah, good guys.
That's right.
Yeah. Who's bringing you out on stage?
You.
That's right.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Really?
That's not a problem.
Can you do a few minutes of the funny stuff?
Yeah, I'll do my A material.
Do you have any new stuff?
No, I don't have new stuff.
No, the old stuff.
Yeah.
The carpentry stuff.
A lot of carpentry and Ford jokes.
So that and
masturbation.
Comes in with Ford cars.
My vagina is the size of a 50-gallon drum. Yeah, I do a lot of vagina. A lot of large vagina.
That one's from Lollapalooza, isn't it?
Yeah. I wouldn't say my vagina's big, but a picture of it would have weighed 5 pounds. That's...
Did I miss the Lollapalooza story?
It's timeless. That's the thing about the vagina stuff you do is timeless. It's like, who's on first?
I'm going to be there Saturday night. I guarantee it. I'm going to bring, I'll bring a couple guys from the man show. Bring a few guys down there.
Jimmy.
I'll see if Jimmy can ditch the old ball and chain
Danny?
And show up.
The bear guy.
Daniel will go.
Danny's always good to go.
Yes, he's the executive producer of the man show. We'll make a little party out of it. What do you say? All right.
We got to take a call.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second.
Uh-oh, still getting put on hold there. Why don't you take this one?
Mm-hmm. Jamie?
Hello?
You're 20?
Hi,
what's up?
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
Good. I had two abortions actually when I was younger, when I was 17 and 18.
Yeah. Good times,
yeah.
And
I'm just waking
stupid.
Up, Adam.
Pretty stupid, but anyway, I have pain sometimes in my lower abdomen, and I want to know if that has anything to do with that, or if that could just be middle schmerz or whatever they call it.
What do they call it?
Middle. What?
Well,
what
listen. It's the middle schmerz, but it is more likely to be other things than something related to the abortion. I mean, it can be ovarian cysts, it can be endometriosis, it can just be normal period kinds of pain, inflammation.
It happens not often, maybe, kind of often. Maybe.
But here's my question. When was the last time you had a pelvic exam?
When I was 18.
All right.
Well,
so,
come on down.
Yeah, so this could be an infection. It could be a lot of things. There's so many other things that it could be than something related to the abortion. Get your pelvic, you're sexually active. You've got to get that done every year. Could be cervical cancer.
Oh, maybe you'll luck out and it'll be cervical cancer.
Oh, my God.
Could be a sour tummy.
But now
gas. It could be gas. Could it be gas, Doc?
True. How come nothing's gas anymore?
Yeah.
It used to be gas.
The vapors.
Yeah, the vapors. What about that?
Yeah. The vapors and gas. Sure, that happens too.
The abortion, would that affect my chance of having children in the future?
There is a slightly increased risk of fertility problems with each abortion, but it's not substantial.
And the risk grows greater?
I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's not substantial, though.
Is that a physiological thing, or is that God punishing you?
Both.
Is he a little each?
God through physiology, yeah.
Oh, I see. God commanding your body.
Yeah.
Not to function. I see. Oh, okay. That's how it works. Ben?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yo. Adam, man, your dad, first off.
Thank you. I know.
Second off, Joe and Dickie, Boston's, you guys are the best.
We're God's little helpers, we like to call us.
They're the little cherubs that float around God.
Yeah, and that makes Drew who?
Yeah, I saw both your shows last week in Chicago.
Hail Satan.
You were in Chicago, huh?
Yeah.
Wait, really? Chi-Town, the Windy City?
Yeah, those are some good shows.
Do you have any kind of problems, or you just make something else up to get through?
No. It says Love the Boston on the thing here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You put a fan through?
Yeah.
Yeah, we normally don't do that.
We'd like
to
help
for you
somebody.
Guys. For you guys, we do.
Hey, what? Can I use some of your time, dude? And thanks for the praise. I'd like to ask, I was reading in a magazine, Drew, about if you do these exercises where you actually flex the muscle between your...
Yeah. Kegel exercises.
You heard about that? I read it in the Maxim magazine.
No, I've never heard of
one of the men's magazines.
Yeah, Kegel.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
They already discussed this.
We talked about the
Kegel.
You heard of a Fender amp?
Because I've got the Bostones doing them three times a day.
Oh, they're three sets
Team
of Kegel.
Team calisthenics style.
Are they regaining control of their orgasm?
Yeah.
Or
how many hours am I on the show? Because I might do my Kegels here tonight.
And I can spot you if it gets too...
Yeah, and that's what we're doing. We team up and we Kegel.
Come on, you can do it.
Yeah.
10.
Everybody has a partner.
Are you doing flicks? Are you doing flicks or squeezes?
We're doing 20-second squeezes, and we're not up to flicks yet.
No flicks.
No. Okay.
How's
we're hoping to someday work to flicks.
What do you want, Doc?
Flick is the 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom, doing
with
this real
fast. Is it just puckering your ass?
Basically, it's puckering your ass. It's contracting the muscle you would use to interrupt a flow of urine.
And you know, they always say that, but I you know what I use to interrupt the flow?
Your
I
hand.
Use my hand.
Yeah.
To me,
Well, then I don't think you can do the exercise, but I got the guys on. We're doing that.
We're getting good at it.
Yeah, we're doing 20 sets at 20 seconds.
Yeah.
I'd like
it. And this will work.
Snapping walnuts
we hope
pretty
that
soon.
By the time we get home from the tour, our wives will be very happy. And yeah. Are you doing these, Drew?
No.
Ben, are you doing them?
Not regularly.
I'll tell you, interrupting the flow of urine is something that would pay dividends, because I do a lot of drunken parking lot urination, and there's a lot of security guards. You know, the headlights come around the corner, and you're leaking on the Fender of the Explorer, and you got to just cut midstream and try to get the fly up without leaking down your leg. Yeah, that could pay off. Should we hear Boston's song?
Sure, absolutely.
Who picked out Someday, I suppose? Is that for me?
If I was picking something for you, I'd have picked Rascal King.
I love the Rascal King, but I really love Someday, I suppose.
All right. So we're going to the classics, a little classic rock here on K-Rock.
I love this song. Here we go, from the Boston's. I love that song.
A little classic rock.
Yeah. We're going way back to Boz Stones.
Up next, we got one from the Outlaws. High Tide.
Phil Greengrass.
Phil Spector produced a song from the early 60s. How you feeling tonight? Turn the way, way down. Hey, the Wolfman here, darling.
Ooh.
Sorry. Is that any good?
Good one.
Thank you.
All right. Dickie and Joe Gittleman both here from the Money Boz Stones. You can find them at the Whiskey coming up this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I believe, oh no, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I took the L in April to be the first and screwed the man up there.
We had such a great show tonight, too. We had so much fun. I'd like to thank the people in that.
Orange County. We're down at Chain Reaction.
It was a great little club.
It was a really good show.
We're doing these little shows.
Well, good, because you'll see me in the audience Saturday night.
I'm not buying it, but that's cool.
In the pit. No,
I just think you're a little busy. You know, you might get a call, you know, a call back on that potato chip commercial or something.
Right.
And then we won't see you.
Yeah.
Potato chip commercial.
I will be there Saturday night.
That's because he doesn't do tryouts.
I don't sell out to the man unless there's money involved. that's my new policy. Not just some money. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dickie Barrett and Joe Gittleman are both here from the Mighty Mighty Boz Stones. Three fabulous nights here in town at the Whiskey. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to be there Saturday. Hopefully, Drew will be there as well. And then San Francisco, 5th through the 8th. Dallas on the 10th. Houston, 12th through the 14th. And then in New York on the 28th. Do not miss them. This is a great live show, and that's why I'm going. All right, let's hop back to the phones and speak to Jessica. It's 21. Jessica.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey.
Before I address my question, I wanted to comment on something you guys discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. If a man only made love to me for 10 to 14 minutes, I'd be pretty unhappy.
Yeah, but actual intercourse.
Actual intercourse. I would guess that the typical woman prefers 30.
No.
Yeah,
no.
You women have no way of estimating time or distance.
Nor do
that's why you can't parallel park, and you don't know when your shows are on.
Here's another bizarre thing about women.
For your inadequacy.
Wait. No. Another bizarre thing about women is that when they have a certain preference, they're outraged when all the rest of female humanity doesn't have the same preference.
Well, that's true, too.
And we can tell you from experience and talking to the show that is a long time. That's the outer limits of most women's scale.
No, if a guy gets in you and you set a timer for 12, 13 minutes and he goes at you good for 12, 13 minutes nonstop, that's going to seem like a while.
Well, now, I actually watch the clock, and maybe I'm just a freak, a bigger freak than I thought I was.
You're a freak if you're watching the clock.
It's not about being a freak, it's just that's your preference, and that's fine.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm good for longer than 12 minutes. I'll do 25, 30 seconds of oral sex before the actual intercourse.
What about Sting?
I'm sure you're excellent, Adam.
Sting had to cancel his last tour because he was getting it on.
Yeah, he went for 10 hours?
6 months.
10 hours, I heard he's doing it.
He can do it. He can do it for 10 hours, but only if there's a sitar player in the corner.
What about lunch? I can't cause. There's nothing in the world I can concentrate on for 10 hours.
Sting hooks himself up to an IV.
I guess.
What's that?
I'm just one of those all-night nymphs, I guess.
I think you're looking for Sting.
Okay. Well, what's your question?
Anyway, I called because when I've normally dated guys my own age throughout my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was 19, I had an affair with a college professor of mine who was 49. And ever since then, I'm only attracted to men over the age of 40, usually between 40 and 50. I've only dated men those ages.
Let me ask a couple questions. Okay. In these all-night encounters you have, do you actually have orgasm?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I did. I had an orgasm just recently, but before I never did.
Right. Yeah, this is somebody who can't get satisfied through sexuality. This is somebody searching for something.
why
the professor?
Why the professor? Why not Marianne or the skipper?
Yeah. Well, he was my psychology professor and human sexuality professor, and I took him a few semesters.
Oh, he's got to be good.
He's teaching. He's qualified.
Yeah.
He's very.
It's got a degree in it.
Now he and then he, like halfway into it, he flips you over and he goes, "Now this one's called wheelbarrow." And notice the technique here.
What you want to do?
Very, he was horrible in bed.
Well,
he had a pointer and a blue screen.
The guys who can do, and the guys who.
How many minutes was he good for when you were watching the clock?
Not very long.
Yeah, well.
The professor wasn't.
He was what?
The professor wasn't very. He couldn't go the distance.
No, he really couldn't. I'm afraid.
What'd you get in the class?
Oh, I got my A's, but I really didn't start seeing him until after. I even dropped the course because I didn't want to date him as my professor.
I see. And now what happened? Nothing serious came of this?
No, he and I were we just messed around.
So where's your dad?
A couple of months. He's gone, never been alive. I don't think I'm looking for my daddy, though.
Where is your dad?
I don't know. He's not in my life.
Yeah. Why?
Never has.
Shocking.
Been.
Shocking.
Maybe he's teaching in college.
You're dating dads, can't have orgasm, can't get satisfied. Were you sexually abused?
No.
Did something weird happen? Were you sexualized at a young age or something? Something weird happened?
I had a very normal childhood.
Go with that thought.
I did. I had a normal childhood when I was about 9. I did deal with some physical abuse from my uncle, but I got out of that situation. And
why was your uncle was beating on you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a lovely, lovely individual.
I think I'll go over and beat on my sister's kid.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. The way it worked?
Yeah. Well, to be fair to him, he may not have had his own kids to beat on, and I know how it goes.
So that also speaks volumes about mom, who has the physical abuse of dad and the abandoning husband.
They got a divorce before I was born, so I never met him, and my uncle also abused her. It started with him abusing my mother, and then it turned on me.
This is a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's a full plate. Have you gotten any therapy?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to work some of these things out. So, dating guys twice your age is not going to solve your problems.
Well, the thing is I'm dating somebody now who's 41, and it seems, I don't know how other people view it. It seems to me like it's very normal. I don't ask these guys for anything I wouldn't ask of somebody my own age.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm sorry?
What the hell does that mean?
No, it's like when I see, everybody insists that I'm dating these guys for money because all the men that I've dated have been very successful, usually high-powered, and it's not like that. I treat them just as I would somebody my own age. I'm very fair, and I don't know.
Circles.
I don't know. Hey, Jessica?
I just wish you'd get off my back for my 15 minutes. You've got a lot to deal with. Leave us alone.
Your uncle abused you, your mom is a mess, and that's enough for a little therapy, all right?
And we're okay. 15 minutes is damn good.
You can't get satisfied through your sexual encounters, you're non-orgasmic, yet you want to have sex all night, yet it's not satisfying. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
Not good.
Liz?
Hi.
Hey, you're 15.
Yeah. For the past week, I've been having yellow dick discharge from my vagina, and I don't know what's going
to
happen.
That sounds like a guy pretending to be a girl. Are you sexually active?
No.
No. You're not sexually active. Is there any burning or pain with this?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
I don't know.
Are you crying now?
No, I'm not crying.
Are you on the toilet?
No.
You're one of those bizarre Johnny Quest villain nationalities that we can't figure out?
No.
You've never had sex?
No.
I'm not trying to be funny. Are you having this discharge right now?
I don't know. I'm not checking down.
Well, it's hard to understand how you could have gotten an infection if you haven't been sexually active. Have you ever put anything inside your vagina?
Yeah.
What?
A dildo.
Well, sure.
Is it your own? I mean, you weren't sharing it with anybody?
No.
Okay.
Drew, is there some sort of dildo exchange program that we don't know about?
Dildos can work as a fomite, as you know.
Clean dildo program?
No.
All right.
Where'd you get the dildo?
From my friend.
Yeah, why do I think this is bogus?
Yeah, this is fake.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is fake.
All right. Hey, Liz, go to the gynecologist.
That's what you got to do.
We love you.
We love you.
What was that? Was that a 15-year-old dude?
That's what I thought. I think
that's
it was.
Voice.
Yeah, I thought it was when I first answered.
Hello.
Doing like a kind of sort of in-between nationality voice?
Yeah.
Interesting. Got his first still.
He got through security though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very stringent here. we're gonna take our phone screeners nipping off a flask as we speak.
Hello.
Dickie and Joe are here for the Mighty Mighty Boston. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back. Loveline, I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew leisurely strolling into the room. Joe Gittleman and Dickie Baird are both here from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones at the Whiskey. We've been now semi-confirmed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, and New York. Just basically coming up in the weeks after
so
this
great
Sunday.
With the plugs. They're starting to annoy me, but... I'm so good with them.
I love the Boss Tones, and I want people to go out there and love them with me.
Wow!
There you go.
Where did that come from?
It's going to be more of that if you go down to the Whiskey this weekend.
A whole night of that.
A whole night of wah!
That'll bring them in. Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know where that came from, but Lord. It's you. Jennifer?
That was my prostate examination. Could you play my prostate examination one more time? Wow! Oh, God, I hated that. The memories come flooding back. Jennifer, hello.
Were you in Boston last week? I was in Boston last week, and the weather was spectacular.
It was beautiful. It's cold again, though.
And what is going on with the dig?
The dig is right near my house.
Oh, my God.
You know what the sad thing about the dig is? And I'm not going to, because it's my city, but it's the biggest, it's the most money from the federal government.
It's like $40 billion or something. Yeah. They've been digging since I was in college out there.
Yeah. This is a huge underground highway.
When I look at the dig, it makes me go, play that again.
There you go. See, all right, what's sad about the dig, Diggy?
Sad is the amount of money the federal government has put into it, and it's way over. But it's like anything, you know. Right. It's that kind of the red tape, the bureaucracy.
It was interesting that they're afraid now. The highway used to separate the what's the Italian area? North End from the rest of Boston. They're afraid now that when you're going to be able just to infiltrate that area without a street, and it'll sort of be yuppie eyes.
What are you saying?
It'll lose its ethnicity. Yeah. And
No.
Right.
It's not going to. They're talking about gardens and hotels and everything. Right. And Mamma Mia, they'll be fine over there.
Jennifer?
Yeah?
You're 23. What's up?
Well, I had an interesting question I hope you guys can answer. Mm-hmm. I have trouble having orgasms without manual stimulation when me and my husband have sex. And I was wondering if I was hypnotized, if that could help me.
Yeah.
You can be hypnotized into orgasm, but it won't change your overall sort of physiology, which is that you need that kind of mechanical direct stimulation. And that's...
I've done it before, though, without my hands.
Yeah, but it's all normal. It's all good. You're actually better than average with what you're describing. Yeah.
How'd you do it without your hand?
Well, the first time I didn't know what was happening to me. It was wonderful. But after that, it kind of got, like, mind over matter. It didn't work because I was thinking about it too much.
God, that's a girl thing.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I hate it.
Yeah, they think about it too much and they freak themselves out.
Why do they even have to think? You know, it would be so much better off if that didn't happen.
Well, because for their orgasmic function, they actually have to have a functioning central nervous system. They need a brain to make it work.
One of God's many cruel jokes.
Yeah, the man can be brain dead and still be just fine.
Yeah.
And nicely. Happily.
Happier, better.
Yeah, if you're in a coma and a nurse gave you oral sex, would you have an orgasm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you would?
Oh, yes.
Well, let's try that. Can we work that out?
Give me that mallet.
Well, it's actually a coconut. Jennifer?
Yeah?
What would you like the hypnotist to do? He'd, like, just tell you that you could have the orgasm?
I've never been hypnotized before, but I'm hoping somehow convince my subconscious to have an orgasm when me and my husband are having sex without me having to do anything.
Yeah, I imagine hypnotists would claim they could do that, and I bet even sometimes they could, but I don't think it's something that would be a permanent alteration.
Hold on a second. All right, now listen to me very closely, Jenna.
Shh, quiet.
You are getting sleepy. Stop giggling. You are getting very, very sleepy. You want to have an orgasm right now. I have a skill. I do have a skill. She's
no, you don't.
I know.
No, you don't.
I have no skills.
Sorry, Dickie. No.
All right, Jennifer. Listen, do you have one during oral sex?
Once with my husband.
I really don't like oral sex.
Really?
I do it.
You got a sister? That's
no.
great. I'd like to breed you. We can breed a super race of woman who doesn't like oral sex. It'd be great.
What a wonderful world.
What a utopia. It'd be like the oral sex Hitler. So I'm looking to create a super breed of Aryan anti-oral sex women. Hmm. All right. I call them pink shirts. Kelly?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to tell you and Dr. Drew, you guys are doing a great service to the community.
Thank you.
I had a quick question for Dickie and Joe. Actually, I had two. Are there plans for a new album? And what is there a story behind the song, The Day He Didn't Die?
Yeah. There are plans for a new album.
Great.
We're going to work on that this summer and have it out as soon as it's done. And The Day He Didn't Die is about my uncle who passed away 2 years ago, going on 3 years, the day before Christmas. And he, people talk about people who have passed away as being unbelievable, and you make heroes of the dead, but this guy was truly an amazing man, and he was an inspiration to me in so many ways, and he was a huge part of the Barrett family. And unlike me, he was the polar opposite of me in the family. I'm way down here. My uncle was amazingly good and really great. And just he lived an incredible life, and he was an incredible man. He passed away from cancer.
Mm.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see you guys in Petaluma. I can't wait for that.
How do you pronounce that?
Petaluma.
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 Ever been there, guys?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's north.
San Diego? Oh, north.
It's up north.
North of San Francisco.
Near San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's past San Francisco.
Is it near Pantaloon Deck?
They basically just go there and grow weed, right?
Well, we're a little south of that. That's left of Humboldt County, but unfortunately, we feel the effects here.
Tell us where the weed is, because we want to keep the horn section away from there.
Oh, well.
We're trying to avoid that.
I know. Is it the horn? Is it the close association to the bong that attracts horn players?
I don't know what it is.
The pot so much.
They just
want to put something up to their mouth and suck on it.
Just something they like.
I think it's the long history. You know, you go back in time, Birdman and all the heavy drug using horn players. You know,
check this out.
You know, I was flashing the fact the only time we ever hung out with your whole band was in Florida. Do you remember this?
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, we were there for that MTV thing.
Oh, this bake sale thing, yeah.
And we just ran into...
Same hotel?
No, I think you guys were bringing somebody on stage or something like that.
No, you guys were down... It was for
D.C.
like... It was... No, that
was Florida. It was
no,
Panama
I hung
City.
Out with you guys right. in D.C.
Panama?
Sure there? We're in Panama City doing some kind of MTV Spring Break thing.
Oh, yeah, Spring Break. Oh, good
and
Lord,
you guys were out there doing Spring Break 2, but not on the same bill or not the same day?
I was
day.
So miserable, and Dr. Drew actually, like, counseled me. I was like, I don't want to be here. I hate it. He's like, Dickie, don't worry about it. You're
I
not
remember
selling
that.
Out.
We were all miserable, too.
I hate it, too.
I thought you were selling out as well. Well, it was nice of you to come out of your misery and help
sure.
me deal through
sure.
mine.
Yeah, we just sat down in the sports bar of the
right,
hotel
right,
and
right,
drank.
Yeah, nice.
Until that dude came up to you and goes, I got to buy you a shot.
Oh, that dude,
you're like,
yeah.
No, look, I'm all set. I really don't need a shot right now. Dude.
Dude.
Do a shot. I worship you. You're my man. I think you're the best.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm all set, and it's nice of you to offer.
Sure.
Dude. Do a shot. You're an asshole.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, he turned on him. All of a sudden, because he wouldn't do the shot. He's like, all right.
Drunken guys are, it's really, that shot makes you blood brothers, is the way a drunken guy looks at it.
I go, I don't want to tell this.
No. Okay.
I set it up.
The whole reason you guys had to revive me in when we were at HFS at the big concert in D.C. a few years ago. Remember when I stumbled into your dressing room and I was green?
Yeah.
I'd been vomiting.
Yeah,
all day. Yeah, that was that dude do a shot. But you know what was funny is I did a shot with a guy and then the bartender went, dude, we're doing a shot too. Uh-huh. And then I ended up doing a shot with everyone in the place. Yeah. And and I ate some soft shell crab or something. I was just heaving. Oh.
I get the same thing all the time, too, but it's not only do a shot, but you got to do a shot with them arm on your back. And you
that becomes a lifelong story of, I was drinking with Dickie.
Yeah.
Or I was out with Adam having some, tossing a few back.
Right.
That's what that becomes.
The story really is, I wasted $5 on Adam. Yeah. He doesn't remember me, and he wasn't facing me when he did the shot.
It usually happens in a bar I'm playing, and I'm like, you don't understand, man. They're giving them to me for free here. You're wasting, dude. I want to buy you a shot.
All right. Well, Saturday night, everybody at the
Dude,
whiskey.
I'm buying you a shot.
Dude, no, I'm buying you a shot.
Really?
Don?
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk to me. Like, I really appreciate it.
All right.
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
One, I was wondering, okay, I go tan at the tanning salon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy there, because I know that, like, skin, I guess it causes sun cancer and, like premature aging, and it's not soft when you, like, get older, it's all leathery and
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was wondering, but he's telling me that, like, there's different rays of the sun, like A, B, and C rays.
There is, and at times there's been at least schools of thought that perhaps the tanning booth had less of the damaging rays, but there's also been times when people thought it's had more. So it probably, in the end, will be about the same as sun.
Okay, all right. Because he was saying that, like, I don't know, he said this is pure, and, like, these are these rays, and these don't cost.
Yeah.
Never listen to anyone who works at
it's all UV energy.
About anything.
It's all UV energy, and UV energy destroys elastin.
That's a good point, yeah.
The destruction of elastin is what causes wrinkles, and the UV is what puts you at risk for cancer. So it's the same.
You go naked in those things?
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
It is.
And,
good times.
And do these guys try to, you know, catch a peek?
No, this guy's a good guy, but I don't know. They have, like, these flat doors, and I sometimes wonder if, like, there's some pervs in there.
Nice. Listen, looking doesn't make you a bad guy in my book,
you gotta
by
understand.
The way.
Yeah, but this dude's married, and he has a daughter and his wife.
Yeah, but so let me tell you something. Any man that close to a naked girl, I'm trying to catch a peek right now, and I'm on the radio.
Right. He's got the mic held up to his eye. All right, John. Good times. But listen, at 15...
You know. Oh, 15?
Yeah, don't worry. Well, no,
dude,
I mean, I'd look.
For God's sakes, Joe.
I look a lot older than what I think, but I'm not stupid. Like, I don't date old guys and stuff. Like, I'm not that screwed up.
Great.
One more question, though. Yeah. This was, like, about this eating disorder thing. Like, something's with me, like, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Like, I'll eat, for example, like, 8 pieces of toast. I won't even be hungry. I'll just eat it because, like, the jelly tastes good.
Mm.
And I won't stop until... Like, until, like, I feel sick, but I never, ever throw up. I've never once in my life thrown up because
Do you exercise? Do you exercise excessively?
Yeah, like, no, not really. I haven't had time to. I'm, like, roughly 5'7", probably a little bit under that, and I weigh, like, 125 pounds.
Well, we sort of call it food issues.
Right.
We got some food issues
going
on here.
You smoke weed?
What about English muffins, or is it just toast?
I don't drink. I'm not stupid.
I see.
You're fine.
Okay, you're all right.
You're all right.
What do you mean you don't have time? You're hanging out at the tan salon all day.
No. I haven't tanned in like a week because
a week and 7 days.
Yeah. So I've had to work since I've been 10, and so I work like 35 hours a week. Plus, I go to school, and I'm getting far behind in school, and it's just not the greatest of times. So.
Okay,
man. Well, what's going on?
Well, because, like... I don't know. They're not, my parents aren't the greatest. Like, they're not alcoholics, but they don't do drugs, but they're not very supportive. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can never talk to them. They don't want to pay for anything. Like,
where are you getting all this motivation?
Because I have, like, 3 royally dynamite individuals that are my siblings, and I really don't want to end up like them.
Royally what?
They're like screwed up bad. Like my sister has like 3 kids, but they've been adopted out.
Okay, yeah. Don't end up like
that. My brothers are caught on weed, and I just don't want that life.
Your parents got to be alcoholics.
What?
I mean, it's got to be maybe not raging alcoholics, but it's got to be some drug and alcohol use.
No, they don't drink beer. They don't smoke.
Well, they may have quit. Right?
Any other toast abusers in the family?
My mom never in her life has she had a cigarette. Never in her life has she had a taste of alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
My dad hasn't had a drink in 27 years.
What are they into? What is their deal? Why are they such crappy parents?
Because, I guess, like, okay, religion was, like, a really strict thing. It used to be. But, like, I was never made to go to church. Like, they didn't care, but I just went. I guess, like, I've rebelled a lot. Like, I guess... Like, since they never made me go, then
You're sort of the rescuer, the hero in the family. You're the one's going to be perfect. And that's what you're describing is a real typical alcoholic family. A couple of them are, you know, one's a screw-up and is the scapegoat, has a bunch of kids. The other ones are addicts, and then she's the hero.
Well, Dad hasn't drank in 20 years.
Right.
Dad could be a program guy, and he could have that gene.
Or the church.
Okay. All right. And let me tell you, the church, for a lot of you people that go nuts with it, is just as big a vice as anything else. I mean, certainly takes up more time than the booze does, because it involves driving.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta make runs.
Ugh.
I wouldn't mind doing the church if they could somehow just I don't know, put it on the internet or something. Somewhere I could jack off and not leave the house and kind of get my fill of Jesus.
Get right into the home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the early Sunday morning gig, especially during football season.
I mean, unacceptable.
That's why what do they call it, Jewism? What is that one called? What's that with the Jews? That's why the Saturday sounds all right to me, because that's college
Saturday
ball.
Saturday night.
Friday night.
Oh, Friday night. Friday night? Don't they go to temple on Saturday?
Help us out, Joe.
Joe, when do you guys hit the temple? On Saturday or Friday night?
I don't know. It's been a while for me.
Okay. But you don't miss as many games being Jewish. That's what I'm saying. Amy?
Isn't it Friday and Saturday you're supposed to? I don't know.
And you can't do anything on Sunday. I like that. Amy?
Yes, I'm here.
You're 16. What's up?
Well, my mom kicked me out of my house. I lived up by the beach, and I moved to my dad's house about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I smoked weed in Newport Beach. Like, I've smoked weed since I was like in eighth grade, but it's gotten really bad lately.
Why'd your mom kick you out? Smoking weed?
No, it's because I've gotten straight A's my whole life. My grades went down. I started partying, hanging out with the wrong people, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So we really didn't get along. There's actually a lot of stuff that's going on between me and my mom. Like, I've had a lot of problems, and she couldn't handle it anymore.
Okay, so she sent you to live with your dad.
Yeah.
And you moved in with your dad, and you smoked a lot of weed?
I go to, like, a continuation school because of my grades. I go to school for 3 hours a day at, like, noon. And
wow, you went all the way from straight A's to...
Yeah, I fell straight down.
Did you get along with your mom when you were getting straight A's?
No, I never got along with my mom. It wasn't just my grades. I had a lot of other stuff that happened.
Is anybody trying to help you or treat you or get some assistance with the behaviors?
For the weed?
Well, this is all sort of an addiction story and a depression story.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff with depression.
And so are somebody treating that?
I had a therapist, and I was on Prozac, and I was on a couple of things, and I just stopped taking those about 2 months ago.
I mean, you see how you've gotten on a course here that could be, I mean, a permanent derailment of your life if you don't get things going.
Hey, you might as well just forget that continuation school right now and just take the GED, by the way, and get a job. Because that continuation school, it's like, it's bargaining with kids who don't want to go to school. It's like, well, what time do you want to show up? They're like, well, noon. I get up about 11:30, so let's make it 12:15. All right. And when's your first cigarette break?
That's exactly how it is.
12:45. Now, I know the teachers' last names are long, so just call them Herb and Bob and Joe and Frank and Cindy, you know. We call everyone by the first name. There, you can score some weed from them, smoke some cigarettes. Yeah.
That's exactly how my school is.
Don't hit them.
Why bother at that point? You know what it's like? It really is. It's like going, I don't much like to work. Like, I don't take real good to work. And someone goes, well, you got to have a job. And you go, all right. And they go, what if you had a job where you just showed up at 1 and stayed till 3 and didn't do anything? And you went...
How much will I be making?
Yeah, you went, could I smoke? And they go, yeah, no problem. And you went, no pressures? Yeah. And if I don't show up a few days out of the week, no big deal? Yeah. You go,
I'm in.
All right, yeah.
I don't want the boss on my back either.
Count me in. Yeah. No drug testing, no applications, nothing like that? No. Okay, you're employed.
Sometimes I like to drink on the job. Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah. Why? Why do it then? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, why bother? You're just saying you're going to school.
I want to put as little effort into life as possible.
Your sister went to
My sister went to Amelia Earhart Continuation School. And it's basically, they took a section of North Hollywood High, just a corner, and they fenced it off like a petting zoo. And they just put the tokers in it, in the corner. And it's like, we'd look at them through the fence, like, don't feed them. They have hepatitis.
Stop poking at them.
Don't poke at them. Hey, don't antagonize them.
Smoking and stuff?
Yeah, they just sit around. It's just a bunch of, like, screwed-up 16-year-olds just sitting on benches smoking.
Kids, it's time for coming, Jim. This is the second gym.
Yeah. Yeah, we're having
I don't know if I can deal with your class right now. Whenever you're ready, we're having class.
Right. It really prepares them for the real world. And then they ultimately drop out of continuation school, and they just get a job doing nothing anyway.
Is that the little bus, Adam?
That's the medium side.
Bus. Yeah.
Short bus is for the retarded kids, and the medium-sized bus is for the continuation school. But that bus doesn't run before noon.
It's just a VW van.
Yeah, Spicoli's van. I don't know who came up with that. And it was called Amelia Earhart. And for some reason, Amelia Earhart.
She would have been proud of that.
I think she crashed a plane in North Hollywood or something. Because Amelia Earhart in North Hollywood, there's a big statue of her in front of North Hollywood. What's that place where they keep the books?
Library.
That's what it is. It's a house where they keep the books.
XXX. Oh, no, that's the magazine. I'm sorry.
All right. So, do we answer her question at all?
Yes.
What she need to do?
I don't know.
Get a GED.
Just say what she needs to do, Drew. Get the GED. Forget about the continuation thing. Get a job and stop the weed.
Yeah. She's been smoking pot since she was a young adolescent. There's overwhelming evidence that that can really
make you a moron.
Well, more than that, it actually shrinks certain parts of the brain.
Times out of 10, what would you say this to this?
What's that?
More than likely it'll happen, but is there a chance it doesn't have to happen?
What's that?
If you smoke weed at a young age.
Well, if you're smoking a lot, it will, I mean, the evidence is clear that it affects your development.
And sometimes you can smoke weed at a young age and then give it up and then go on to a ska punk band and do quite well.
You can do that.
Yeah, that's,
I'm not saying that's for everybody.
No, but that's only one out of three.
Ultimately, you'll sell out, though.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay.
But here's the thing.
Love the new show, Drew.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm the sellout, right?
Oh, Christ.
Good morning. Good morning.
The other thing about weed too is it's like if you
men are from Harvard, women are from the West Coast.
If you do it from 13 to 18, it's like you've been locked in a sensory deprivation tank for 5 years too. It's not part of it is what it does to your brain, but the other part is you ain't collecting too much information.
Right, you're not
in that
right.
Key period.
And the parts of your brain that you need for those developmental milestones just isn't available to you. So stuff isn't coming in, and then you can't react to it even if it did.
Okay. Mighty Mighty Boss Stones here tonight. We'll take a little break. We'll be back with them and you after this. Loveline, fast growing outlaw radio, North America.
That rocks.
That was good radio.
Yeah, what was that?
Who was that band?
That's Metallica, isn't it? Is it Metallica? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize the riff.
That's, well, you enjoyed it. That's why you didn't know it was Metallica.
No, I like Metallica.
All right. Yeah, you're such a big fan. You know
I can walk, man.
No,
I'm not going to drag Metallica through the mud here on your show, man.
All right. No, I we've never had Metallica on this show, but I have run into them at an event or two, and they're very friendly, very complimentary.
Have you ever heard our version of Enter Sandman?
No.
Why don't you load that up off Skycore for the next one?
Do we have it here?
Yeah, it's on Skycore, right?
Did we bring
it? No, it's on that other thing.
It's on the Where'd You Go EP.
Never mind.
All right.
Joe, run back to your office and grab the Where'd You Go EP. Joe Sib, our manager's here.
So we don't have that, but we do have Kinder Words here.
Oh, we do?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
We have to listen to it.
What do you want to hear? Let's hear something else.
Drew's kind of down.
Yeah, he's a little
strong. Yeah,
some 20-something kids gave him a tough time today.
You want to, I know, but I thought maybe Kinder Words could make him feel better.
The Boston's a cheer you
up. Boston's would cheer
really?
Me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Drew, don't ever change.
Yeah.
All right? And don't stop caring, honestly.
Mm. And keep fighting the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, good fight.
To Adam.
Now, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
When the kids were giving you a hard time, were you wearing your PJ bottoms like
no,
right now?
No, it's just for
okay,
radio.
Okay,
because that might
be a
thing.
Yeah. Might be a little vulnerable.
Drew was lamenting during the break to Joe and Dickie that...
No, I wasn't. Not
he was a little down. He was a little down.
The point he was making is like, you know, when he's looking at these kids and they're like arguing with them and they're talking back and he's like, what is in it? What do I gain?
What do they think his angle is?
His motivation is...
Why are they so skeptical?
Yeah. Why are they killing the messenger? Why do they...
Right.
Yeah, I understand they choose to do other stuff, but why dismiss everything I say as though I'm saying something that's trying to manipulate or being truthful?
Make more money, or they're not members of your immediate family, and there's nothing you can really...
That's sad.
...gain. So with that being said...
Yeah.
I think
you're probably right.
Well, there. I mean, Drew, you do, you know, part of it's your livelihood, right?
What's that?
You got that $55,000 SUV and the $2 million home. I mean, you know, that's part of the battle. It's part of the reason to get up in the morning.
He got that from knowing things.
Yeah.
I'd look at a man like that and say, he must know something.
That's right. Look right? where he is today.
Yeah. Tell him about when you're at, like, a college lecture and...
No. Come on. Like, you're having a bad enough time.
That's all right. You can tell that.
Tell that story.
I'm saying, for those of you who don't know it already, Drew is a very sensitive guy, and if there's 3,000 people who give him a standing ovation at the end of one of our college lectures, and there's one freaked out chick who comes up and attacks him while we're signing autographs, Drew's night and weekend is ruined by the one girl. He won't stop talking. He won't stop talking about all the way home on the plane. And he's absolutely devastated that he will focus all of his energy on one person.
And what do you do?
I yell at the one person, usually, and tell her to haul her fat ass. I usually, you know, it's like, listen, townie, because I know you ain't going to any university. Haul that fat ass.
Back to the trailer.
Back to the photo match you've squatted. They don't have photo mats anymore, do they?
I don't know if squatters rights. I don't
they
think
they do. Squatting a photo mat, though, that'd be bad.
Do they have photo mats or not?
No.
They've turned them into like a little coffee drive-thru.
Yeah, they don't have
the point I want to make, and to make this long segment agonizingly longer, I just want to say, Drew, you're a really good man, and don't ever stop and don't let people discourage you.
Oh, thanks, Dickie.
All right?
I'm back.
I'm back. Kiss your ass and blow you. I'm just telling you I love you.
Tom?
Yeah?
You're 35.
Put that on a tape, Carl.
Yeah, I'm going to hear it next time I'm here.
What's up there, buddy?
Well, I'm wondering if there's something wrong with me or I'm weird or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely weird. Yeah. I hope so.
We got the weird vibe going already.
I hope you're weird.
What's going on?
Okay, well, I'm calling from Los Angeles County.
Oh, okay, you're weird.
Yep.
Okay. Anyhow, I have an enjoyment for women's underwear.
Mm-hmm. Are they in them?
Are you in them? No.
No, and do you put them on? Yeah.
Yes.
You're gay.
You do. And do you dance about?
No.
Do you prance about?
No.
Do you frolic?
Not necessarily.
How about
no. Mincing?
Any mincing going on?
I sleep in them.
Do you tiptoe through the tulips?
You get off in them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've heard I'm not the only one.
No, you're not the only
no.
one. How about?
I'm not gay.
No.
I love women.
No
not
kidding.
Men.
How about when you're with a woman? What happens?
Let's see. My ex-wife knows.
Yeah, but do you do something with the underwear when you're being with a woman? When you're being intimate?
Sometimes.
Like what?
What do you do?
I did with my ex-wife.
What would that be?
Warm with her.
Mm-hmm. So you're just wearing them while you engage in the sexual act?
Yes. Yeah, and alone. I'm living alone right now. I'm divorced now.
Yeah, shocking.
Now, are these like big old bloomers, or what are we talking? Let me get
a
visual
sexy thong on
this. Yeah.
Briefs.
Take us there.
Briefs.
Tom.
Well, it's just a regular brief. You know what?
Like a cotton.
Missing the fly.
What is the cut on those?
A couple of bras.
How do you get your hands on these underpants? Do you buy them new, or do you like are the soiled ones worth more?
I buy them new and say they're for my girlfriend.
I see. So it wouldn't matter to you that, let's say, you knew a sexy woman had worn them before, that wouldn't make them more valuable to you?
No.
So new.
So it's a cross-dressing thing, is what it is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a fetish.
I don't know about that because I don't like to put on dresses or anything like that.
Let me ask you this:
I love women and not men.
Do you have to wear the underwear? Do you have to have the underwear in order to function sexually with a woman?
No.
No.
Wow.
And
it's a hobby.
Yeah. But
Tom, are you wearing a pair right now?
No.
All right. Good. Thank God. Because I would have insisted we hang up.
Yeah.
Next question.
Mostly it's on the weekends or times I don't have to face work in the morning.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, hey, do you ever wear the thong backs? Because if I put on a pair of thong backs, it'd be like trying to get like a kite string out of a hedge. You know what I mean? It'd be an all-day thing, and eventually you just have to cut them.
I don't know. Maybe I'm boring, man. I just...
Kites like out of it.
I've got a couple of bras.
Out of it.
I did it one time. I had a body briefer at one time.
I see.
All right. We get the picture.
Hey, Tom, but what do you do for a living? Do you work? Do you take care of yourself?
Oh, I work.
With kids or? No.
No.
What do you do?
I'm a mechanic.
I see.
And you're able to have relationships normally? Your relationship history has been okay?
It's been okay.
Yeah. And what about substance abuse? You sound a little loaded right now.
Where do you work? Do you want to give a plug?
I've had a few beers. But
had a few beers.
It.
Are you an addict or alcoholic?
No.
You sure?
I went through a drug thing in high
school. Had a few beers.
It just bored me.
Yeah, but you're drinking every night, right?
Not every night, no.
What was the last time you missed a night?
Last time I missed a night was, a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But that's a rare occasion, right? Yeah, Tom, here's what I think. Don't focus so much on the women's underpants, but focus on the substance and just focus on your life in the sort of the big picture of your life. You know, your relationships, yeah. Your job, your relationship with substances.
A sort of global way to look at this, and a pretty sort of easy way, so maybe even simplistic way, is to look at it about surviving traumatic alcoholic family systems. And when you're a child and trying to manage the overwhelming powerlessness of that, you'll sort of cling on to a life preserver. And sometimes fetishes are those life preservers, a way of focusing emotional energy and avoiding feelings that are very dangerous. And so when you have intimacy and have arousal, this sort of is your life preserver. It takes you away from the really sort of the memory or the experiences that were so overwhelming and made you feel so powerless. And now you, having inherited that gene from that alcoholic family, are now starting to manifest the disease. And the disease treatment would help with all of these issues.
All right. Let's hear a little something from the
Adam, remember the time you had the gay phone book?
What?
He had his gay phone book one time. What is that?
Where was I?
They have a gay phone book.
What does that mean?
It reminded me because of the auto mechanic. He's an auto mechanic.
Oh, yeah, because of the cross dresser.
And Adam flipped over and he goes, now look at the picture of the mechanic, the advertising, I don't even know what garage it was, Tony's Garage.
The guy has, like, axle grease on his nipples and his pants around his ankles. And it's like Bob Johnson, attorney at law. And the guy's got wood, you know, and he's wearing a G-string. I swear to God, the gays, no bones about this. I mean, the gays, you know what the gays are? They're men who like other men and don't care.
Yeah, watch out.
Who they going to offend, the gays?
One was an auto garage. It was a, you know, auto body shop or something. It was, you know, and the picture was a guy in the little leather hat and everything. And he's going, I wonder if the guys that work there know they're being advertised in this.
No, they really don't.
I mean, this is the homosexual community is what the world would be like if women were actually like men.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's proof positive how different they are.
Who invented the glory hole? It was a gay scientist in 1845. I'll tell you, the gay phone book is so funny because... taxidermy, same dude with a shirt off.
And you look it up in the regular phone book, and it's just like, perfectly straight.
I need a guy who can make a set of dentures and short nose. There's another dude with a shirt off. There's a bunch of dudes in their underpants just advertising regular jobs.
Services, that's great.
We laughed for like an hour. I was crying and everything.
I got to get hold of the 2001 gay phone book.
Another one. It's worth hours of laughter.
All right. I think we'll take ourselves a break. Then we'll come back, hear something from the Boston. Yep. Here we go. It is Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Dickie Barrett and Joe Gittleman are both here from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Going to be at the Whiskey Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then in San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, and New York, all in the upcoming. What are you going to do? Let's take a call. Find a chick, though. I mean, any women on there? There's fine. Oh, she was right.
Celine, here we go.
Celine? Now talk to Celine, and then we'll hear at Boston soon.
Hello?
Celine?
Hey.
Hey, you're 19. What's going on?
How come everybody sounds so calm when they talk to you? I'm so nervous right now.
No, you sound
calm, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I hooked up with this guy, like, last weekend, and he's pretty cool, except for the small fact that he smokes pot every day.
And
well, you live in Huntington Beach, right?
Yeah.
Well, what guy doesn't down there?
Yeah.
There's I know. It's pretty ridiculous. But I didn't know at first. He kind of, like, hid it from me. But I spent the night at his house, and the first thing he did when he woke up was smoked a bowl, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But that's not the worst.
Wake and bake, man.
What was that?
Wake and bake.
Oh, yeah. It was gross.
What's the worst?
We were just fooling around, and I felt his penis and, like, the head.
Yeah.
Like, the tip, the skin was, like, flaking off.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was gross. It was like, all crispy. And, like, the base of the shaft, there was a bump. Like, I felt one bump, and it was, like, really hard.
Uh-oh.
I was just wondering what it was. Probably, I didn't do anything with him.
Probably a wart, I suspect.
Oh, God, yeah. So gross.
What about the flakes?
Yeah, that could be tempura batter. Sometimes guys eat stone, they eat in the nude, and stuff gets on the penis.
Maybe it's cornflakes.
Once in a while, I don't know.
Well, why do we involve with the guy's an addict?
I don't know.
Stay away from that penis.
Yeah. I'm not anymore. I mean, I haven't been talking to him since that, but...
The flakiness can be a lot of different things. It can be a hygiene issue. It can be inflammation, irritation. Is he circumcised?
Yeah.
It can be dandruff, too.
It can be, I was thinking.
Little head and shoulders on there.
You actually can get eczema and psoriasis and things on the penis, but,
yeah.
But be that as it may, the flaking
is oftentimes healing
of irritation if he sort of has been excessively irritating that area for whatever reason. It'll flake for whatever reason. Herpes will flake when it's healing.
There's only one reason to irritate the area.
That's right. So, Celine?
Yeah.
It sounds like you could do better.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I don't know. He's cute.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm a stupid girl.
why don't you get smart and find yourself a good guy?
Do you have any suggestions of what I could say to him? I don't want to just, like, all of a sudden stop talking to him.
Yeah, he won't notice.
Yeah, don't worry. He's baked.
And I don't know why he didn't say anything to me. That makes me so mad. He didn't even say anything. Like, if you guys had flaky wieners, wouldn't you tell the girl before she started touching it?
I had a windbreaker made up in high school, a flaky wiener windbreaker, just to kind of get the word out.
I used to work at the flaky wiener at the mall.
I ran with the
I did.
With the L.A. chapter of the flaky wieners. Pretty tough crew. I didn't want to tell you what the initiation was. That's embarrassing.
But it did have something to do with tempura batter.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Try the flaky wiener. It's delicious.
All right, Celine. You find yourself a nice, sober guy with out of flaky wiener.
And you didn't sound nervous.
No, you've done, no, you're done good.
Well,
you're
I
done
was. Good.
All right.
Thank you.
We have a bunch of records out.
I know. What? How many records you guys have?
Six or seven full-length albums, right?
And then the little ones, and
EPs,
the hidden
live records,
and lost tracks. Extensive career.
Yeah.
That I'm actually proud of.
Yeah, you should be.
I didn't think I'd have any pride at all reaching this part of my life. I thought I'd be prideless, pretty much.
I thought you'd be eating peanut butter on a train in Mexico.
I thought I'd still be working out at the Flaky Wiener, to tell you the truth.
That's right.
And that wasn't a bad job.
Working the back door at the Flaky Wiener.
And this is nice listening to these.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know this sounds trite, but you guys probably don't sit down and listen to a bunch of old stuff anymore.
I don't think
anymore,
we listen to it since we finished recording it, you know.
Right.
Because you hear it so many times in the studio, and if you know that, take a call.
All right.
I'm boring people.
Ray?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, you guys are great.
Thanks.
Hey, Ray. Hey, you can call me Ray.
I grew up just down the road and around the corner from you guys.
Where are you now?
I'm in Montana.
What's going on?
I'm a recovering alcoholic addict and sex addict. And I'm having troubles right now setting boundaries on a relationship that I'm just starting.
How long in a recovery are you?
6 months.
Yeah. And you know you'd really be best if you didn't do that relationship thing for a little while more,
What's
right?
the boundary problem?
Yeah, well, I'm used to jumping into relationships feet first and not, you know, looking at, you know, the long-term effects and all that, and they've all been unhealthy.
What the hell does that just mean? But
I don't know. I was caught up in thinking, what's faster, feet first or head first? What? And when you jump into something.
You are effed up, Adam.
Really?
Yeah,
I got caught up in that.
That's bad.
That's what you're focusing on.
But what is the boundary issue? it's not happening fast enough?
No.
It happened too fast.
Slow it down.
It happened too fast.
It's going too fast.
So how old is this person?
She's 32.
Is she an addict?
No.
She's not a recovering person?
No.
And it went to sex very quickly?
No, I mean it's only been a week and already it's, you know, see, that's the thing. I don't want to, you know, have sex with her.
Okay, good. What does your sponsor say about this relationship?
He's really not for it.
Is he an SA sponsor or an NA sponsor?
He's SA and AA sponsor.
All right. Well, so, why don't you listen to your sponsor?
But that's not for his emotional health. It's just she has a big ass and he doesn't think Ray could do better.
Yeah. Ray, you're 6 months into recovery. Believe it or not, it's great that you got 6 months under your belt. Those are critical 6 months, but you're still a baby in recovery.
Yeah.
You got to listen to your sponsor. He's not giving you information, not giving you advice just to be an a-hole or just to flex his muscle. It's because he knows what does and doesn't work in recovery.
All right. Oh, boy. Real fast for the boss tones. Dave?
Yeah, how you doing?
Spit it out there, brother.
All right. I just want to say real quick, this is my questions for Dickie and Joe, actually. But I'm in L.A. now, but I grew up in Mass, and I've been fans for a long time. So I appreciate the fact that you guys are still playing shows.
Right on.
Yeah.
I got a question about songwriting. I just started writing songs. I play guitar, and I wanted to...
We have 20 seconds.
All right. I just want to know, as far as... do I need to go to a publisher or something like that to protect my songs or copyright them or anything like that before I can play open mics and stuff like that?
No. Absolutely not. Write the songs, get to the open mics, and play out.
And that's it?
Good luck to you, and thank you for calling. Yeah, that's about it right now. We'll talk to you when you get a little more down the line.
Yeah, everybody, whether it's comedy, music, acting,
go do
modeling,
it.
Whatever, just do it.
Yeah.
A little less thinking, a little
more
doing.
Buy now, pay later.
Right, we'll be back. It's Loveline. All right, well, there you go. Another.
Which station is that? Show.
All right, off the air, off the air, guys. Let's hash that out off the air. Boston's, everybody. Whiskey this
become
weekend.
Such a Nazi, man.
Friday with Phoenix TX.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Saturday with
the Voodoo Glow Skulls. Sunday with Flog and Molly and the Sentimentals.
Good times. Those are all.
Madcaps playing on Friday.
All be great shows. And then San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, and New York in the days and weeks to come. So look out for the Boston's coming to a town near you. Thanks, Nikki. Thanks, Joe.
I always do that when I hear the schedule.
And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I used to work at the Flaky Wiener. Right. At the mall.